Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
And so I've got a word today that I pray that will hold us in good stead for the next decade. Is that okay? We're going to go to Joshua chapter 24. Say, Joshua 24. It's on the screen, or you can open your Bible app right now. Or if you've got a paper Bible, good on you. You're going to get to heaven straight away, I reckon. Joshua 24. Not many of us left. Joshua 24 verse 13. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, you eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Verse 14, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Today I want to speak to you on this thought. Choose for yourselves this day. Choose for yourselves this day. Can you give Toby a big hand? Thank you so much, young man. You played good today. Can we just encourage this young man? Like, I don't know how much he's put into his craft. Joshua chapter 24 is an incredible text. And when we get there, Joshua is an older leader now. If you're not certain about Bible history, Joshua was a great leader that God had tasked to lead God's people. And he's at the tail end of his life. And many battles have been won by the nation of Israel under Joshua's leadership. And the context of this is that from a timeline point of view, Joshua first took on the leadership of what was the nation of Israel at the time when obviously the previous leader, Moses, had led them out of slavery and into the wilderness. Joshua had then taken on the leadership of Moses, and he was very nervous in terms of his leadership. He wasn't sure that he was cut out to do what God had called him to do. God had tasked him to lead this group of, or this whole nation of ex-slaves to become a warring or conquering army. How many of you know that's no small task? And we happen upon this account in Joshua chapter 24, and it's been about 25 years. So a window of time has now passed between when Joshua first took it on and he met this apparition of the commander of the armies of the Lord, and he took the walls of Jericho down and he conquered a lot of ground. About 25 years have now passed, and the people of Israel had started to settle. They started to build houses and cities and raise their children, who after a quarter of a century, all they had known was Canaanite life. So there's a whole generation now of young adults that had never seen the water from the rock. A whole generation now that had never seen what it's like to contend God, when's our next meal going to come, only to see manna appear on the ground. There's a whole generation now that has no idea what it's like to transition from a slave-minded people to learning how to make weapons and build shields, and blacksmiths had to hammer out swords and spears. They had no idea what the price the previous generation had to pay for them to now live in literal cities they did not build and eat from vineyards they did not plant. Do you understand that? Right? And so this is the conversation that was happening now as Joshua is tail ending his leadership life, and he's seeing an entire people lose, or in the process, or maybe have a potential of losing their fighting edge as they've settled into comfort. He has this conversation with them, and he's now pushing 110 years old, and he observes a people potentially at a crossroads, at a critical juncture in their history, because he's observed that while they were in slavery and in the wilderness, there was a hunger for God, which after now one generation that started to lose because they'd settled. I find it incredibly interesting that over 450 years of slavery, there was not a single account of an Israelite intermarrying with an Egyptian. But here in the land of Canaan, after 25 years, they started to flirt with the people of the Jebusites and the Amorites and all the other Vegemites. within one generation because of settling. Their mentality has started to change. But when they were in slavery, they were on edge. They were holding on to God. They were doggedly determined to not lose their identity. But here in the land of Canaan, they'd lost the edge of what it's like to hold on to Jehovah. They started to see some dilution in the way that we're thinking. They started to see a bowing down to the gods of the Amorites and an embracing of a worldview that was not aligned with Jehovah. Are you following me so far? They started to embrace some religious practices, maybe some philosophies of the Hittites and some practices of the Ammonites and the Jebusites. And the crux of the issue in Joshua chapter 24, if I can bring it back to some irreducible minimum, is that people were still busy, but their energies were channeled toward things that were other than the kingdom or aligned with God. This was an important moment. And I felt to bring this text to this Port Kennedy campus. I know that we're celebrating 10 years, but I really felt in God to bring this charge to you to answer this question. In this next decade, who will you serve wholeheartedly? Because if you know the history of this campus, when we first said yes to having a presence here in the city of Rockingham, there was no building here. We had to fight to buy this. We had to fight to transition to establish a youth ministry here. We had to fight. And now that we've got some stuff, the question is, will you keep fighting or will you just settle? And this question that was posed in Joshua 24:15, we read it. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. It's a strange charge from Joshua if you don't know the context. I mean, like, what are you talking about, Joshua? These guys have fought hard to establish themselves in this Canaanite land. Why are you asking them to choose or making them even suggesting that they might have a choice? And it says, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Like, that's a strange thing to assert, Joshua. Why are you bringing them back to this place where you're charging them to serve the Lord? Haven't you got a people that are serving the Lord? And for me, when I'm reading this, this is not in any way pointed towards this campus. I'm simply saying that sometimes, and I've even had to teach this to our Myrie campus as well, sometimes when you get what God has promised you, it's easy to stop believing for the more that God wants to give you. Do you understand that? When you finally get what God has been promising you, it's really easy to forget that God has so much more in store for you and to simply go to sleep or feel comfortable that this is all that we're going to have. Now, it's extreme language that Joshua's using. You know, you're bowing down to the gods of the land that with which you dwell. And I'm not saying that there's any paganism in this campus. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm using this as a picture of what God wants to stir in our hearts. But I do get a sense it's not just for this campus, that as a whole church, we're 21 years now. And it's really easy for us to bow sometimes to other things other than God. And you know, people often say about Australia and even in this particular community, the city of Rockingham, it'd be easy for us to assume that we live in a highly atheistic society, that there's atheists everywhere, that we're hitting up against atheist mindsets, that people don't believe in any gods. Can I suggest to you that Australia has many gods? Can I suggest to you that Australia actually, what is a god? A god is whomever you regularly worship, pay homage to, invest your money with, focus your energies on, and prioritize in your life. And if that's the definition, then Australia has many gods. We bow down every week to the god of sport. We bow down every week to the god of travel and new house builds and new kitchens and social media presence and better cars and personal success and personal convenience. We bow down to the god of comfort all the time. None of those things are wrong, but I'm here to suggest to you that maybe God wants to bring that charge again to this campus to choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And my prayer that the answer resoundingly out of Nations Port Kennedy is this: as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. That's our prayer. And so on the basis of that charge that Joshua gave to God's people, I want to break down that phrase: choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Can I break it down for you guys? First word in that question that Joshua posed is that word choose. Do you know that word choose is the verb form of the word choice? Every person in this room has a choice, right? If you ever find yourself in a place where you feel like your heart is veering from God, tell yourself, I have choice here. No one's holding a gun to your head to watch Netflix for 8 hours. No one ever holds a gun to our heads for the 3 times a week we play golf. No one ever chooses, but no one, you have a choice who you serve. You have a choice what you bow down to. Everyone has a choice, and Joshua poses this choice to a nation who would now, after 25 years, are actually living in the promises of God. They waited 450 years while they were in slavery. Another 40 years while they were in the wilderness. And now, after just a quarter of a century, it started to see their heart make other choices. My prayer for us is that as a campus, we will choose well. Second phrase, for yourselves. Here's the thing. No one can do this choice for you. Hello. Can I speak to all the husbands in the room? Don't leave it to your wife to do all the praying. Come on, husbands. Don't leave it to your wife to do all of the faithing. Don't leave it to your wife to do all of the serving. Don't leave it to your wife to do all of the worship for you. Choose for yourselves. Every single person that calls Nations Church Port Kennedy their home has got a personal choice that God comes first in my life. Choose the commitment to your God for yourself. In this next decade, say, God, I want you to be on the throne of my heart. I can't rely on Pastor Mark and Mel's faith. I can't rely on Tracy to pray for me that one more time at the altar. I'm going to choose for myself. I want to own my faith. Come on, somebody. Choose for yourselves. Third part of the phrase, this day. There is something about the Lord bringing a sense of urgency, I think, to this campus. Don't say, when the sporting season's over, then I'll really commit to God. Don't say, when I get married, then I'll really serve Jesus. Or when I have a bit more time, then I'll do Life Activated. No, choose for yourselves this day. This day. Because I think sometimes we say yes immediately to Jesus as Savior, but we sure take our time to say yes to Him as Lord. We love the benefits of salvation, but we don't always love the cost of lordship. And so I think there is a thing that the Israelites were going through at the time where they acknowledged Jehovah as the provider, but Joshua could see the veering away and the almost the delay, the slowness in coming back to seeing Jehovah as Lord. I think for us, we need to answer the question, do I want to choose for myself this day? Or am I going to choose it one day? My prayer for us is that whenever someone walks in to this Nations Church Port Kennedy campus, they will feel the todayness of your faith. They will feel the todayness of your love for God. They'll feel the todayness of your heart for this location, for this city. They'll feel the sense of when someone walks in for the first time to campus prayer, they're going to feel the urgency of what it is in desperate call for God. Would you move in our community? Is this helpful to you guys? Choose for yourselves this day. Fourth part of the breakdown is whom. Whom is the object of our worship? The object of our prioritization. This question is so important. Who's on the throne of your heart? Who's on the throne of your heart? Who occupies the predominant awareness of your everyday? My prayer is that in this next 10 years, there's going to be an acceleration of Jesus being in the throne of the heart of every person that calls this campus their home. Amen. Amen. It's so easy. You know, I've been a Christian now probably, I officially gave my heart to the Lord as a child at 7 or 8 years old and had some wobblies. And over the years, I really feel like that there's been seasons where it's so easy for us to have a different God on the throne of our hearts. We may never admit it, you know, but really easy for Jesus to be dethroned, very difficult for him to be re-enthroned. But in this season, come on, let's put Jesus back at the center of everything that we do. All of the things that Mark talked about, the number of people they got saved, the number of people they got baptized, and the different programs we've started, I see such an incredible future for this campus. But it can't be because we've been clever. It's got to be because we've had the right whom on the throne. Do you understand that? The very thing that has birthed this must be the very thing that will continue to birth new things out of this location. And his name is Jesus. Choose for yourselves this day whom, and the final part of that phrase is you will serve. You will serve. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You know, the word serve doesn't mean getting on a roster and helping out the kids' church. And it's part of that, but it's so much more than that. That word serve, it alludes to who you have set your affections or your allegiance to. The word serve in the Hebrew is that word obad, to mean to be bound to, as in a bondservant and slave, to serve another or labor for and be subject to. It's an awkward word for us modern readers because we don't quite like that word bondservant or slave. But in our modern vernacular, if you can think about it like this, it's the essence of it is, who do you belong to? It's a sense of I'm owned by. And some of you might be saying, well, hold on, PK, that's a bit extreme. I'm a free person and you know, the gospel has set me free and all that sort of stuff. All that's absolutely true, but biblical wisdom tells us that we're all bound to something or someone. We're actually bound to whatever it is that we deploy our time, our talents, our energies, our focus, and our priorities to. Whoever you give your allegiance to, that's who you're already serving, whether you believe it or not, or know it or not. And some of you might be thinking, well, hold up a second. That's a little bit contradictory to the true gospel, isn't it? Like that Jesus came to set us free. Well, Paul would write it like this, Romans 6. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. Here's all those definitions coming into play. You've been set free from sin and have now become slaves to righteousness. What is it telling us? It's telling us that when we said yes to Jesus, Jesus didn't just set us free from being bound to sin and left us in no man's land. He now bound us to himself. And I'm here to tell you today that the best future for every single person that calls Nations Church Port Kennedy their campus is to be bound to Jesus, is to have your heart fully aligned and having an allegiance to Christ. Being free from sin doesn't always mean that you immediately become bound to Jesus. Sometimes if all that you do is be free from sin, you leave yourself open to be bound to other things. Come on, somebody. This was really what was happening to the nation of Israel. They were out of Egypt's slavery, right? But they were in danger of binding themselves to the ways of the Amorites, the worldviews of the Jebusites, the morality of the whatever Vegemites. Make sense? Right? My prayer for us is that we always understand, God, that is who we used to serve. But now, we don't just serve nobody. That is who we used to serve. But now, this is who we serve. And what Joshua was bringing this people to, I know this is deep teaching, but I really feel this is for you and for somebody here today. What Joshua was actually teaching them to do is to live in a perpetual state of repentance. Can I go deeper with this? Right? So here's the thing. My spiritual father, David Storer, used to tell me, the more we walk with Jesus, the more stuff we usually discover that we have to repent from. I don't know about you, but repentance is simply the turning away. It's a metanoia, the change of, it's simply turning away from something in order to turn towards another. Do you understand that? The wrong definition of repentance is just to turn away from. The true repentance is to turn away from something in order to turn towards another. Do you understand that? Right? So repentance or metanoia is the key to justification, which is salvation. Absolutely. That's the first step. But repentance is also the key to sanctification or your ongoing transformation. So it's a little bit like this. In different seasons, I've had to journey the whole idea of, okay, God, I don't want to do that anymore in my life. I'm letting that go. But I'm turning away from that in order to turn to you. Do you understand that? Right? And the more we journey in God, the more you discover we have to turn away from some stuff in order to turn more toward Him. Do you understand that? Right? How does this apply after 10 years? Right? This is very profound. Here's the thing. As we begin to walk in maturity with Jesus, the Lord will reveal to us areas in our hearts that we've not turned away from, but need to, in order to turn more toward Him. And that is the journey of Lordship. Do you understand that? Right? And so here is this beautiful picture when Joshua observed this window in 25 years. And I think sometimes repentance has a wrong edge to it because people feel condemnation when it comes to repentance. But repentance is an absolutely beautiful posture for any believer to have in their seasons of spiritual maturity. Do you understand that? You never graduate from metanoia. You never graduate or feel like you are now beyond repentance. I don't need to repent for nothing no more. You never get to that phase. In fact, the closer you walk with Jesus, you realize, Jesus, I need to turn away from that and turn more towards you. And you walk more, the more you walk with Jesus, God, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do this with you. God, I don't want to get caught up in that anymore. I want to get caught up with you. Makes sense to you guys, right? And this is what I sense for this particular campus. Whenever people walk in here, there's going to be that beautiful sense. They're going to be swept up in wanting to turn away from where they were to turn towards the Jesus that you all love. Joshua was leading a people to be aligned back for the sake of the future beyond his time as a leader. Do you understand that? He was actually setting up a spiritual culture at 110 years old, Joshua 24. He's getting old now, 25. He's seeing a whole generation of young adult Israelites that have never known what it's like to believe in faith that the next day there's going to be manna on the ground. They don't know what that's like. They're just eating all the cherries and the grapes from the vineyards they didn't plant. Right? Eating the nice meat from lambs that were grazing on pastures they never sorted out or owned. Makes sense to you? And so my prayer for this campus is that you never lose the right perspective spiritually. That it is by the grace of God that you're here, and by the grace of God you shall continue to go. Can we give God a big shout of praise? I know it's a lot on your 10th anniversary, but I just want to bring something prophetic for you, right? I just want to go a little bit deeper as well. When it comes to choose for yourself this day whom you serve, and it's this thought, whom or what you choose to serve will be all you've got to help you when you're actually in the fire. Let me preach this for the next 5 minutes. The great litmus test as to where or whom or what has your heart and whether that's the right thing or not will not be in the good times. It will be in a life-altering event when there's a crisis in your life. When something hits the wall, that it will reveal whether this choose this day whom you will serve answer is the right one in your life or not. I've been a pastor for 21 years, and this is what I've seen. I was actually just talking to someone, not in this campus, sometime last year. They came and they were going through something with their young and old son at the time. And they said this to me. I've come to realize, now that my son's 20, that Sunday cricket when he was 10 is not going to help him with his drug addiction today. It was a conclusion they came to themselves. I've come to realize that the decisions we make today as to whom we bow to will have incredible ramifications. Maybe not tomorrow, but one day when you're in the fire. I want to talk to you about three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They lived under Babylonian rule. Unlike the Israelites that were kind of in Canaanite land, they were living in Babylonian rule. So they were in exile, essentially. And they were under a government that was adversarial to their faith in God. So the Israelites were conquered by the Babylonians, had kind of brought them in. And the whole Babylonians' game was to enculturate the Israelites. Other historical enemies of the Israelites had different modus operandi for the way they treated them. There were some conquering nations that whose whole goal was to wipe them out. Other conquering nations was to pillage their wealth. The Babylonians brought the Israelites in, and their whole goal was to turn Israelites' mindsets into Babylonian thinking. They insisted that they would speak their language. They insisted that they would learn their philosophy. They insisted they would take on their morality. The Babylonians at the time were ruled by a very egotistical leader by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he thought to himself, I'm going to make a huge idol made of gold for myself. And all his advisors pandered to his ego to say, hey, we got an even better idea for you, king. Why don't you make all of your subjects from all of the distant lands that you've conquered bow down to this golden idol, and that way you can feel like you are a god king. He thought, that's a great idea. I might make that rule, right? And he said, well, I'm going to make this such a hard and fast rule that whoever does not bow down to this idol, this golden statue of me, essentially, will be thrown into a hot furnace and be burnt to death. How many of you know that when you've been threatened to be burnt to death, suddenly everyone bows down? Do you know what I mean? Except for three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I love this, Daniel 3, verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we obey, we serve, have allegiance to, is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not obey, bow down, serve your gods, or worship the image of gold you have set up. At this reply, the king was enraged. He ordered his guards to throw them into the fire. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was heated up 7 times hotter. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished as he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered, said to the king, well, that's true, O king. Well, look, he answered, I see four men loose. You guys getting this? I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I want to remind you again, who you choose to serve will be all you've got to count on when you're in the fire. In the next 10 years, I don't know what's going to come or happen to your life. I could have known what the last 10 years was going to dish up for Chrissy and I. But there have been seasons where we've been found out who we've been serving. But there's also been other seasons we've been so grateful that we've walked with Jesus. Because whom you choose to serve this day will only ever show up when you're in the fire. And when you're in the fire, you want to have been found to have been walking very closely with Jesus. When you're bound up and thrown into the fire of life because there's some health diagnosis, there's some stuff going on with your 21-year-old daughter, there's stuff going on in your family, stuff going on in your finances, stuff going on in your career, you want to have been found to have been walking closely with Jesus. Because at the end of the day, whom you obey and serve and bow down to, have allegiance to, decide to turn away from and turn towards, all of those pictures will be shown to be true in seasons that are not blessing and favor and abundance, but when it starts to get a little tight, when it starts to get, the heat starts to get a little turned up, that's when you want to be found to have said, God, I find myself in a fire right now, but I'm so glad that I've got you with me. If you're a Nations Church Port Kennedy person, you want to be found in 2029 when you're going through a tough time. I don't know what's going on in my family right now, but I'm so glad I'm serving Jesus. You might want to be finding yourself somewhere in 2031 with some adverse health diagnosis. I don't know what's going on in my body right now, but I'm so glad that I'm walking with Jesus. I don't know what's going on in my family right now, but I'm so glad that 10 years ago, PK preached this message, and I made a decision to choose for myself this day whom I will serve. Because I'm finding him now in the fire with me. And what I'm prophesying over this location is that this campus is going to lead the way in devotion to Jesus. There's great hunger in this campus, but I think you're going to show the rest of Nations Church what it's like to truly have a heart that's postured toward him. Mizos, you can join me. Because the sense that I get is that what God is about to do in the seasons ahead, you need to know that this building is too small for you. This building is too small for you. Because when there's a whole corporate anointing, a people group that are completely aligned and bowed down to and in service of and having their heart allegiance to Jesus, it's an attractive quality in a broken community. People are going to know, what is it that you've got? Why aren't you rattled and shaken when stuff's going on in your life? Tell me about why aren't you broken like I am? Like if I was going through what you were going through, I would be completely falling apart. What is it about your life? You can say, I chose for myself that day whom I would serve. Make sense? And there's a prayer of my heart for this location that in the days ahead, there's going to be a whole generation of young adults and teenagers that the rest of Nations Church are going to look at and go, that's a Port Kennedy youth. See how on fire for God they are? See that 21-year-old? That's a Port Kennedy young adult. We want what's on their life. There's something that God is doing here that's very, very special that we really birthed out of what Ian and Denise, Pastor Ian and Denise did, you know, the years before Midcoast became Nations Church Port Kennedy, that I think God is going to build on in the decades ahead. There's something very special about this house. There's a beautiful anointing in this place. And I want to leave you with this prophetic declaration that should the Lord ask you next year, the year after, and the year after that, and 5, 10, 15 years from now, who do you choose to serve? That it'll be a collective response from this campus. As for me and my house, we will serve. Can we give God a big shout of praise? Come on, why don't you stand to your feet today?
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.